Well, I'm going to give a topical sermon today, and we are going to hold on to our series on Christian warfare. And the sermon that I would give today is, is there room for Jesus, you know, in your heart? Is there room for Jesus in your heart? And when I was admitted to the hospital for the colonoscopy, it is amazing that I was amazed that they told me that they will remove 5 polyps. Polyps are basically extra tissues in your large intestine, in your colon. And usually when the polyps are full grown, it can turn into cancer, and it's very dangerous. The thing is, I didn't even realize that I had polyps. I had no pain, I didn't even realize. But just imagine if it was full grown, still I won't realize. Even if it was cancer at the early stage, still I won't realize it. And people die of colon cancer. It's one of the biggest deaths here. And it's caused by eating a lot of fatty foods, especially animal fat, greasy foods. And, you know, also it's caused by smoking and drinking alcohol. Don't exercise, and also if you weigh too much. Everybody who is over 50 years old, they recommend to do a colonoscopy. And the reason for having these polyps is you are taking bad food, you're eating bad, you have bad habits of eating, you know, eating bad foods. At the same time, you're not eating enough fiber. Suppose, like it is said, that a man should take about 30 to 35 grams of fiber a day. Women are kind of little less. Now, half a cup of broccoli has only 2.8 grams. So if you eat a little broccoli a day, you think you're all right, you're not. You have to take 35 grams. That's going to be a whole basket full of broccoli. But of course, we don't eat like that. That means you need to change your whole diet. Whole diet means you better eat the wheat, or the brown rice, or the red rice, fruits, a lot of cereal, okay? All these things, even the snacks you eat has to have fiber. That will accumulate to about 30 grams of, you know, fiber. Now, there is a spiritual lesson on this one that I learned in the hospital. That's what I want to give you today. As a spiritual lesson, everything what the Lord does to you, you can see it happens for a purpose, and you can learn something spiritually. Now, the spiritual lesson I see in this situation where I went to the hospital and they took 5 polyps away is, that a lot of times we are concerned of the outside of the body. When we see a little pimple or a little spot, we see it and we are very concerned about it. We see gray hair, we are concerned about it. We are so concerned about the outward or the external appearance in us. But a lot of times it is the internal that is more important. Inside, I didn't even have any pain, but it was very dangerous. And how many people would die of colon cancer without any pain? In the same way, a lot of people are more concerned about the outside, but inside, they're not concerned, they're in their spiritual matters, and they go to hell. In 1 Kings chapter 19, actually 1 Kings chapter 6 verse 19, I just want to give you a little some scriptures here. 1 Kings chapter 6. If you turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 6. Okay, 1 Kings chapter 6, starting from verse 19, you see how King Solomon was building the house for the Lord here. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 19. And he says here, the inner sanctuary he prepared in the inmost parts of the house to set there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. The inner sanctuary was 20 cubits long, 20 cubits wide, and 20 cubits high. And he overlaid it with pure gold. He also overlaid an altar of cedar. And Solomon overlaid the inside of the house with pure gold, and he drew chains of gold across in front of the inner sanctuary and overlaid with gold. Now, a lot of times, what I want to show you is here how important the inside it is, the most important part of it. It's not the external, it is the inside. Even if you go to the Middle East today, this is what I heard, that the outside is not that beautiful, most of these big places, palaces, but when you go inside, they are very pretty. A lot of gold and so forth like that. Here we see the sanctuary of God. It is the inside that there was gold. It is the inside that matters. And a lot of times we go for the external beauty of this world. But it is the inside that matters. And also, if you think about this at the same time, think about the tabernacle. Tabernacle of the Lord. You know, where God told them to build a tabernacle. What was it outside? Just a tent. What beauty was there in the tent? But what about inside the tabernacle? There was a holy of holies, which was absolutely the divine presence of God was there. On the mercy seat was built with pure gold. And the cherubims are looking at each other on the Ark of the Covenant. See, the inside. God looks at inside. Man looks at outside, but God looks at the heart and inside. So it is inside that matters. And think about our Lord Jesus Christ. On outside, the book of Isaiah says there is no beauty in him at all. He was not a handsome, good-looking, you know, the picture that you see, the Jesus picture looks like an Irish actor. No, that was not Jesus, according to the Bible. He was a Jew. Okay? There was no beauty to attract anybody to him. But what about inside of him? Inside, it was absolutely beauty. It was absolutely glorious. It was absolutely perfect in holiness. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. So, what I want to say today is a lot of times that we need to take our external eyes away and look at the spirituality. That's so important. Even as Christians, we need to see everything what happens to you. We need to turn around and take it in a spiritual perspective. The Lord put me over there to go through this for a purpose. So I can use that and give a sermon to you. And now, think about the Pharisees. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 23, verse 25. Matthew 23:25, what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed, self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean." And here we see Jesus is talking to who? to religious leaders. He's talking to religious leaders. Who these religious leaders, they knew the word of God. And but they were hypocrites because they did not obey what the word said. And Jesus called them what? Hypocrites. He called them hypocrites, whitewashed tombs, you know, dead man's bones. And he used these very strong words to show the hypocrisy of the people. And we need to be concerned not of the outside of the flesh, but we need to be concerned of the spiritual things. You know, polyps, I didn't see the polyps. If I saw the polyps long time ago, I would have gone to the doctor right away. But I didn't see. And you don't see what is inside in your body. But you know, if you see something outside, we will take care of that. Right at that moment, we will take care of it. But what is more important is not the flesh, what you see, but the spiritual that you don't see. That is what is more important. And if you turn with me to Luke chapter 2, verse 7. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. Here we see the birth of Jesus, our beloved Lord. Luke chapter 2, verse 7 says, and here, she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Just imagine that even our beloved Lord, when he was born, she probably went to every inn and they said, sorry, it's been occupied. We have no room for your son. You know, this is the Lord of heaven, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who is going to be born in this earth. But people have no room. People have no room. So my question to you is, do you have room for Jesus? Do you have room for Jesus in your heart today? A lot of people were so busy in the things of this world and the things externally, they have no room for Jesus. Do you have room for Jesus today? You know, and if you have room for Jesus, you will see what you will do. You will do the things for Jesus. You will glorify Him. You will magnify Him. You will read His word. You will serve Him. You will follow Him. And you will be a representative of Him, a light for Christ. You will say, I am a Christian. You will be not ashamed to preach the gospel. But if you don't have room for Jesus, and all the other things have choked you, the worldly things have drowned you, because you are seeing everything externally. You are not looking things spiritually. That's very dangerous. Because the reason is, many people take from a physical perspective. A lot of people, all of us, like to eat pizza, hamburgers, hot dogs, fried chicken, steaks, pasta. Well, these foods are very tasty, isn't it? Well, if you keep on eating this, and if you are not going to take much, nobody would like to eat vegetables, fruits, you know, good fiber and so forth like that. And if you keep on eating this, what's going to happen? After 50 years old, all these things are going to accumulate in your body. Then when you are older, 50 and after that, it will show the results of what you have eaten before. Right? That's common sense. You don't have to go to a doctor. You know about it. That's common sense because you're taking junk into your body. But at the same time, just imagine, a lot of people will say, well, after 50, I will change my diet. It's too late. Too late. You know, in the same way, a lot of people say, well, when I get older, I'll become a Christian. When I get older, I will serve the Lord. It's too late. You don't know what time the Lord will ask for your soul.
In the same way, spiritually, what are you feeling? What are you feeding into your heart spiritually? People are feeding to the flesh. Feeding to the flesh. They are more involved in the worldly things, material things, and the entertainment, and all these things, what is happening, they are feeding from the television, and all these things, they are feeding to their flesh. So, what's going to happen? That's not going to profit your soul. Your soul is in danger with God. And if you turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 5, in the New Testament, Romans chapter 8, verse 5, Apostle Paul said, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh." So if you live according to the things of the flesh, your mind is totally focused on the things of the flesh. Well, that means your mind is maybe focused on the material things, on the wealth, your job, your house, your car. Yeah, all the things, these are the things that you are totally focused on. Alright? But those who live according to the Spirit. Now that means a person who is a born again Christian, who loves the Lord, who wants to follow the Lord, who wants to serve the Lord, But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. The person who is a born-again Christian, they have set their minds on spiritual things. Of course, we live on this world. It doesn't mean we have to abandon everything and go to the jungle and just think only on spiritual things. No, absolutely not. We are occupied. We are in this world, but although we are in the world, we are not of the world. Okay, so important. Jesus said, "Occupy till I come." So important that wherever we are, it doesn't matter wherever you are, whatever you do, we have to remember we are living in the very presence of God. You need to have that God conscience in your mind, in your heart. We cannot just forget God after the church service. And after that, we forget. Only Sunday when you come, you remember your Bible. You totally forgot God. That's not Christianity. Christianity is a lifestyle. It's different. Now, then verse 6 says, to set the mind on the flesh is what? It's death. You see? If you're going to set the mind on the flesh, what you see, to set the mind on the flesh is what you're going to see externally. Huh? If you're going to do that, the end is what? Just like the polyp, you don't see it. You don't see the polyp. You don't see the cancer. Because all the time you are looking things externally. But suddenly the cancer came and people died. It's death. That's how sin is. Sin is like a cancer. Sin is like polyp. You don't see. You don't see sin. You don't feel sin. Sin doesn't hurt you. It doesn't give you any pain. It gives much satisfaction to the flesh. We are going to see that later. Then it says, verse 7, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So, this is not what I am saying. This is what the Holy Bible says. The mind that is set on the flesh is an enemy towards God. Okay? And we cannot compromise and say, no, this, that, no. This is what the Word of God says. Doesn't matter what we say, it is an enemy to God. So it says here, those who are in the flesh, who live according to... living in the flesh means, it's like this. It means that I want to live this way. It is my will. I don't care what people say. I don't care what the Bible says. this is the way I want to live. That is living according to the flesh. The will of God is against your will all the time. Because your will is always trying to please this flesh. But the will of God is what? It is to do what God wants you to do. It is always the difficult path, the will of God. Remember Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed. What was his prayer? That, Father, if it's thy will be done, because his prayer was, of course, nobody wants to go to the cross. As a man, he didn't want to suffer as a man, but also he was fully God. But not thine will, but not my will, but thine will be done. It's a will of God. So, understand this today, and I think why a lot of people, they have no room for Jesus today in this generation. I think even in the Old Testament, why people did not have room for God, and even today, is because of one sin. And this sin was the worst sin in the Old Testament, and it is the worst sin today, and a lot of people don't talk about this sin today. And it is called idolatry. And if you turn with me to Numbers chapter 25. Numbers 25. The book of Numbers chapter 25. I'm going to read verse 1 to 5. Numbers 25 says, while Israel lived in Shittim, the people began to war with daughters of Moab. These invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel yoked himself to Baal and Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, take all the chiefs of the people and hang them in the sun before the Lord, that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn from Israel. What did the children of Israel do? They went and followed the customs of the other nations. They followed other gods. They yoked together with the unbelievers. And the unbelievers always tend to tempt you to sin. That's what they said. They yoked together. And here, they had other gods, you know. They worship other gods. And what happened? What did God do? See verse 9. Nevertheless, those who died by the plague, there were 24,000. The people who died by the plague were how many? 24,000 people. God killed them. Now, today, there is so much idolatry in our hearts. If you love anything or anybody more than the Lord Jesus Christ, it is an idolatry. You don't have to worship other gods. If you love anything or anybody more than the Lord Jesus Christ, it is an idolatry. Okay? What is the greatest commandment the Lord gave? Love the Lord, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might and mind. So if you love anybody more than the Lord Jesus Christ, or anything more than the Lord Jesus Christ, that becomes an idolatry. I think today there's a lot of idolatry in people's hearts. And if God's going to kill the people because of idolatry, a lot of people will be killed today. Now, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 7. Jeremiah chapter 11. Jeremiah chapter 11. Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 7. Starting from verse 6 says, And the Lord said to me, the Lord said to Jeremiah, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah, and hear the word all in Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. Hear the words of this covenant and do them. For solemnly warned your fathers when I brought them out of the land of Egypt, warning them persistently, even to this day, saying, obey my voice. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but everyone walked in stubbornness of his evil heart. Therefore I brought upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did not. And here we see people, God again and again brought prophets to the Israelites, brought prophets to proclaim the will of the Lord to Judah. Again and again they came and prophesied the will of the Lord, and people did not want to listen. What about today? Again and again we are preaching from the same pulpit, again and again. People listen, but they don't obey. People listen. People get convicted in the sermon, in the church, they get convicted. But after a few days, no more. It's gone. Obedience is what? Obedience is to do what it says. Not just knowing, oh, I know I'm to obey, but I don't. That's not obedience. That's just what? That's Pharisees like, you know, that's hypocritical. And obedience is to do what the word says. That is really important. Now if you turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 16. Jeremiah 16, starting from verse 10. Jeremiah 16:10 says, and when you tell these people all these words, and they say to you, why has the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? What is our iniquity? What is the sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? You know what? It's the same question people ask today. And say, I haven't sinned against the Lord. What did I do? I'm alright. And how people compromise their sins. They say, what did I do against the Lord? Well, I have a little devotional in the morning. I read the Bible a little bit here and there. I come to church. I'm a Christian. These people were the same. They were called the children of God. But again, God is rebuking them through Jeremiah. Keep on reading verse 11. God says, then you shall say to them, because your fathers have forsaken me, declares the Lord, and have gone after other gods, and have served and worshipped, and have forsaken me, have not kept the law. And because you have done worse than your fathers, for behold, every one of you follows his stubborn, evil will. See, it's the will, it's your will. Refusing to listen to me, therefore I will hurl you out of the land into the land neither you nor the fathers had known, and there you shall serve other gods day and night, and I will show you no favor. Because people have forsaken the Lord, they have not been obedient, and they have followed their stubborn, their own will, refused to listen to God. God is going to punish them. Where the Babylonians are going to come, and this prophecy was fulfilled, and massacre them. God allowed the evil pagan country to come and punish the Israelites. But it's something that we need to understand. That means it looks like, I don't see God, I don't feel God, so I can do anything I want to, everything is going to be okay. Even if I sin, even if I disobey to God, tomorrow I'm still okay, no problem. But you know what? You don't know what time you will die, and you can wake up in hell, in agony. And there has to be a fear of the Lord, a respect to God, an honor to God. You know, It's so important that we need to understand that if there is idolatry, it is a sin. No room for Jesus because the hearts are occupied with other things. Other things have become so much busy. It's okay to be busy, but use your business for the glory of God. And people are cold-hearted. They have a divided heart. Let me ask you a question. If there is a spiritual person who is very strong in the Lord, and if that person wants to come and stay in your house for a few days, how would you feel? Will you feel very comfortable to have fellowship, you know, want to have fellowship with a person who is very spiritual, who is very strong in the Word, who loves the Lord? Will you feel comfortable? Or will you take a person who is not that spiritual, maybe a little bit spiritual? It's okay. Maybe a little bit more worldly, little bit spiritual. What will be your pick? Well, if you say you're not comfortable with a spiritual person, how much more with Jesus Christ? And you don't want to have fellowship with Him. That shows what? The flesh is enmity with God. There's no harmony. Because the way of Jesus is different than our way. How much more Jesus says, I'm going to knock on the door. And if Jesus says, I'm going to come and stay with you, and He will not give you any notice for you. He will not give you any advance notice. And He will come suddenly and say, I'm going to stay with you in your house. Just like how He did in the people in the New Testament. How do you feel? You will sweat come to you all over. You know, heart will be beating really up and say, oh my goodness, Jesus is going to see all my sins. Then there's an idolatry in your heart. You don't like Jesus. There's enmity. When Jesus leaves, you'll be very happy. Wow, He's gone. Thank God He's gone. That's not Christian. If Jesus is going to come and stay in your house, you'll be happy. It's like Mary Magdalene. Remember Mary Magdalene? When Jesus was dead, after His death, she didn't see Him for 3 days. And where did she go? She went to the tomb and asked, where have they taken my Lord? She couldn't wait to see the Lord Jesus Christ. She was a sinner, just like all of us, saved by grace. But once she was saved by the grace of God, all those sins were dumped into the bottom of the sea. It was forgiven, and she had a passion and a great love for the Lord. And she couldn't wait, even for 3 days, she couldn't wait without seeing Jesus. And she went to the tomb and said, where have they taken my Lord? I want to be with Him. That's the love you should have. Not, you know, these sermons are so important that you should make a recording and listen over and over again. That's what I do. I do that. What about you? You know, Lord speaks to me first before He speaks to you. Lord changed my heart before He changes your heart. I repent first before repentance comes to you. Otherwise, it is hypocrisy in me. So I listen to my own sermon. I listen to my own sermons because I need to. Because I need to be, I want to stay very close to the throne room of God. How about you? It's so important that we need to have room for Jesus. And if there is no room for Jesus, if you don't have room for Jesus, do you think you will have room in heaven? I was thinking about this today. I was meditating about this. And I thought, if there's no room for Jesus in your heart today, is there any room for you in heaven? Think about it. You know, at the hospital, I have been, I am very scared of needles, even since I was a little child. When I hear the doctor coming, when I was a little kid, I always cry and go and hide. They had to find me, because I was very scared of needles. And this colonoscopy, I heard they are going to give me something to drink. And after that, you know, they do the colonoscopy. But they put me into bed, and I saw a nurse taking a needle. And I saw, I told her at once, oh, I thought you were going to give me something to drink. And she said, no, we had to give you IV, saline. And I said, the first thing it came to my mind is, if my Lord took the punishment for me on the cross, and the nails were hammered into His flesh, and took that agony, or how they, you know, nailed Him to the cross. And what is this? This little needle going into my way. And when the nurse put it, I didn't even feel it. Because I was thinking in a spiritual way what my Lord did for me on the cross. And so, in the same way, we have to understand, when we go through a little pain, what pain is that? What our Lord went through, huh? What pain is that? Do you love Jesus? That's the question. If you love Jesus, you're in good hand. If you love Him from the bottom of His heart, you're with peace with God. Then you have peace with God. How great it is to have peace with God. That you know when you die in peace. You're going to be in heaven. But if you don't love Jesus, if you don't obey Him, if you don't follow Him, if you don't love His word, you don't love Jesus. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 27, verse 1. Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Wow. Just imagine, when the Lord is your light and salvation, you are not going to fear anything. Absolutely nothing. If the Lord is going to be your stronghold and your life, of whom are you going to be afraid? Even death, you're not going to be afraid. Even sickness, you're not going to be afraid, because you know, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Then read verse 4. Verse 4 says, one thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. This is a born-again Christian. This is a man who loves the Lord from the bottom of his soul. He says, one thing I asked of the Lord, that the most important thing that in my life is to seek after God, to follow Him for the rest of my life, to see the beauty of the Lord. Wow. What about you? How do you feel? And you yourself can measure your spirituality and see, externally we look okay, but how about internally? And if I ask you, do you have a thirst for the Lord? Some of you might say no. Well, have you prayed about it, for the thirst for the Lord? No. Well, do you read the Bible? No. So, you know, just think about it. If there's a problem in your house, if there's a problem in your house, what will you do? You will fix it, right? Is there a problem in your car, what will you do? You will fix it. If there's a problem in your job, what will you do? In your work, whatever you are doing, there's a problem, you try to fix it, right? And these are external things that we try to fix things. When we see something's not right in your house, where you live, in your car, or whatever you see on externally, when we see problems, we try to fix them, right? What about inside of you? What about when you see there's a problem that you have sin in you? You have sin. You are not walking the way you should walk. What about a problem? You are not obedient the way you should be obedient. You don't love the Lord the way you should love the Lord. What do you do? You should fix it. The more important is what? It's not the external, but the internal. That's the whole message. The people, they don't see. A lot of people, they don't see that you have a problem spiritually. You know why? The reason that you don't see, many people, they don't see that they have a problem spiritually. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 17 and you will know that. Jeremiah chapter 17, this is the reason. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" That's the reason. The hearts are deceitful. That means the heart will say, you know, it's okay. Always try to find a way to compromise. It's okay. I'm alright. I have good, you know, this thing with God. The heart is deceitful above all things. Desperately sick. Who can understand? But I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind. And the person who realizes that there is idolatry in their hearts, the person who realizes that they have sinned against God, they act differently. You want to know how they act? Turn with me to Psalm chapter 32. Psalm chapter 32. Psalm chapter 32. Here we see when David realized of his sins. Psalm chapter 32. Verse 3. "For when I kept silent," this is David when he sinned against God. "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away. Through my groaning all day long, for day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of the summer." This is how you should feel of the guilt and the sin. You know, even the guilt, if you feel guilty of sin, that is only by the grace of God. I'll tell you. Because your heart is deceitful above all things. If you feel that you have sinned against God and you feel guilty, that is by the grace of God. Because your heart is deceitful above all things. Only the grace of God will show you that you are guilty. It is only by the grace of God. And here, by the grace of God, here we see when David kept silent, his bones were aching. That's the way you should feel when you have sinned against God. Does it mean, do you sin against God? Yes, you do. Do I sin against God? Yes, I do. When I sin against God, well, I'm not perfect. I have sinned against God. And when I sin against God, I feel terrible. You know, we all are living in a world that is full of temptations all around us. And we all fall into temptation and we all fall into sin. Temptation is not always sin. But yielding to that temptation is sinful. But we all sin. But when I sin against God, I feel terrible. Sometimes I beat my chest. I pull my hair because I feel terrible. That's how David felt when he has sinned against God. That's the way you should feel when you have sinned against the Holy God. And if you are not feeling anything, basically, one thing is you're not saved. That's basically what it is. You don't feel anything, you're not saved. And that's where God's grace will fall on you, and that you will realize that you are a sinner and that you will be saved. And Ephesians chapter 5 verse 14, Ephesians chapter 5 verse 14 says, "For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Days are evil. When Apostle Paul wrote this, this was almost like 2,000 years ago. What about today? You're saying days are not evil today? Days are even million times evil today than what Apostle Paul wrote this during his time. If the days are evil, we need to be wise, not like the unwise, making the best of what? The time. Because the days are evil. And I'll tell you, I'm not going to live long. I will die soon. And you too are not going to live long. Because we may live another 25 years, probably some people 50 years. What is that? Some people 5 years, 8 years. Nobody knows. I'm not going to live long, and you're not going to live long. The days are evil. The time is short. And if you're a Christian, why you say you're a Christian? Huh? Why do you say that you're a Christian? You are a Christian, one thing, is because Jesus saved you. And if Jesus saved you, you're going to serve Him. You're going to glorify Him. That's why God saved you. God saved you so that you can glorify Him. How are you glorifying Him? That's why the time is short. And I, by the grace of God, I want to serve the Lord for the rest of my life, for every opportunity that I have. And I pray for that. That means I want to serve the Lord, and I praise God that, you know, we got about over 600 people visiting the website now. And I want to see it's going to up to 1,000 people coming to the website. And because of this, a lot of people write to me through the website, ask questions. There's a pastor who is writing to me asking questions, and so many people, and they have been blessed. The Philippine ministry has been blessed. Everything, what is happening. And I want to buy a laptop, which I have ordered. Because this, when I get a laptop, I'm not limited to one location. I can be anywhere. Even when I go with Larry into the grocery store, I can serve the Lord wherever I am. Even my studies, I can do anywhere I want to. I'm not limited to one place. Because we need to use this high technology for the glory of God. And what are you doing today to glorify God? That's the question. What do you do to glorify God? What kind of work do you do to glorify God today as a Christian? That's the question. I want to leave you with that question. And I want you to serve the Lord. And I want you to have, not to forget this sermon after 2 days or 30 minutes time, but to remember it. This sermon is recorded here. You know what? I listen to this sermon anytime I want. Sometimes I listen to this sermon 2-3 times. And it goes to the website. In about 2-3 hours time, it will be on the website. If I listen to this sermon 2-3 times, how much more you?
because I can use this for the glory of God. I can bring this, you can take by the same thing, and you can put it over there, wherever you are, and it will be recorded. And you can listen to that anytime you want to. These are high tech, but it has been created for today. We need to take use of it. And it's because a lot of times we write and we forget. We write, put it in the Bible, we forget. We need to memorize the scriptures. We need to meditate upon these scriptures. The scriptures needs to be a part of our life. Okay? Why is a part of our life? Because our lifestyle is a Christian. Christianity is not coming to church, not only in the church, but it is a lifestyle. So the scriptures should be a part of our life. The word, in the beginning was the word, right? The word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the word. There was Jesus Christ in the beginning, was the word. What is the word? It's the expression of God, is the word. God expressed his will through Jesus Christ. So he became flesh and lived among us. So he became a part of us now. The word should become a part of you. That means the word that you're hearing, you should digest, memorize it, meditate the scriptures, and become a part of you. That means when you see some temptation comes and sin comes, what do? You say, just like Jesus, we quote a scripture against Satan. The word becomes a part of you. So you will stay away from temptation, far away from the enemy, but close to God. Amen. Let's pray.